Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 10, where we see that having God's heart for people means that we will feel the hurt other people have, but we also have to follow our hearts with our hands. Feeling must be followed by doing to minister accordingly and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 1.
These opportunities to serve in a way where you had to be called by God, it wasn't a career. It had to be something that God put his hand on you and your family. You know, people are funny just about this whole theme, but it's so scriptural what's the word I'm looking for? When you favor family. Nepotism. It's a bizarre thing. Folks get upset. Oh, you know, it's family you're serving. Well, it starts in the beginning of the scripture, and it goes all the way through. The brothers of Jesus wrote books in the New Testament. They were called by God to serve in such a dynamic, powerful way. Moses and Aaron. Aaron's sons were the priests. You had to be born into the family to have this call upon your life. So he's saying that God would take men from among men to minister to men, and he would handpick who it was going to be. And it was of the lineage of Aaron. It had nothing to do with Aaron's qualifications. It had nothing to do with Aaron's performance and abilities as this amazing follower of God. In fact, Aaron messed up greatly. Aaron did some disastrous things. It had nothing to do with it. It was just God's divine favor and picking of his life and his seed's lives after him. Okay? So he says that here. You, number one, if you're going to be in this, you know, position, you've got to have the calling of God, the ordination of God. That's where the promotion comes from. It comes from the Lord. When it comes to ministry, it comes from the Lord. You want to serve Jesus? That's a great desire. But if you don't got a call in your life to serve him in the capacity that you want to, you are setting yourself up for great failure and danger. My son's tournament yesterday, he's playing soccer, he's there, he's got a game in 6 minutes, Lord bless him with 3 goals. And as he was playing yesterday, he's a forward and a lot of times a center midfielder. He's very, very aggressive. Yeah, he's very aggressive. Yesterday, because of, well, it doesn't matter why, I don't know who listens to these things, so I got to be careful. But yesterday there was this decision made that the kids were going to rotate where they play in a tournament, first time ever. We're 5-0, but all of a sudden yesterday we're gonna rotate where the players play and put them in positions they've never played before. And the coach told my son right before the game, after the first quarter, you're going in the goal. Now, doesn't know how to play goalie, never tried to play goalie. He's always only been a center midfielder or forward. That's it. When he went in the goal, the other team scored 3 goals. It was disastrous. He was diving everywhere, but I think at one point the ball was over here and he dove this way. I don't even know. He'd have to go to some goalie clinics and be worked with if this is going to be the position that he pursues. He was clearly, obviously uncomfortable in the uniform that he was wearing, the goalie's uniform, the goalie's gloves. The next quarter, he came out with a vengeance when he went back to forward. He went out there with a vengeance and with an aggression that was a reflection of aggravation of being where he should have never been. And he was back in his comfort zone. Get these gloves off me. Get this goalie's jersey off me. And let me go score goals and pass with the forwards. And the effort of having some assist here to beat this other team. He's an aggressor. David, when he was put in Saul's armor, he said, get this off me. I'm uncomfortable. It doesn't fit. I don't like it. I can't see through it. I can't fight with it. Give me my slingshot. I'm used to fighting with my bare hands. I'm a scrapper. I don't fight by the rules. I bite. I poke. I do whatever I got to do. I fought a lion. I fought a bear. You know, I'm a shepherd, man. Get this stuff off of me. I don't fight with these things. I fight with my hands, and I fight with my slingshot. As Christians, when you and I try to step into a realm of ministry that God does not call us to, it's disastrous, but not just for you, for everybody around you. There's got to be a calling of the Lord upon your life. It has nothing to do with somebody being better than you, me being better than you, you being better than the next person. So if you happen to be that person that God has called in the realm that somebody else wants to serve, you have no reason to puff your chest out and lift your nose up. It's the favor of God because he's gracious and kind. Aaron messed up severely. He led the nation of Israel into idolatrous worship. Orgies and drunkenness were on his watch. The blood of those actions and deeds was on his hands before God. And yet God chose him still. The old Hebrew idiom, God loves you because he loves you. You could take and apply to your service, Lord. God chose you because he chose you. It has nothing to do with you. You can't take yourself too seriously. After all, you go to bed with yourself at night. You know the real you. You wake up to yourself in the morning and you look in the mirror. You know the real you. God had a call on Aaron and his lineage because he chose to. That's why. Now, that's the first point the writer is saying here. I'm only going to use 2 points. I'm going to make this so base for our congregation this morning. You had to be called by God to serve God. You had to be called by God, appointed by God, ordained by God. Still the same today. Now he's going to show here, because you got to remember, these people's families were saying, how are you going to follow this Jesus of Nazareth? How are you going to follow, you know, this man that was crucified on Calvary's Hill? How are you going to walk away from the beautiful institution, the priestly institution, the lineage of Aaron, and the mediators that have descended from him, that stand between you and God? How are you going to walk away from all that to pursue him? Because he's also a chosen high priest from God. But he's a greater, better high priest because he's not of the order of Aaron. You following me? Aaron, his sacrifices, they were temporal. Every single day, sacrifices had to be made. There had to always be a succession plan. As just this little pastor in Spencerport, legally, I have to have a succession plan. If God forbid something happened to me, suddenly, there has to be a succession plan in place so this church can continue to operate very similarly to the way that it does right now. Aaron had to have a succession plan because he wasn't going to live forever. His priestly ministry was temporal. The sacrifices that he made could not completely take away the sins of man. They could only cover the sins of man because they were all types and shadows of who? Of Jesus. The whole book is written of Jesus. Everything speaks of Jesus. Jesus is a superior high priest in his calling, in his ordination, as we see here in verses 4 through 6. No man takes his honor unto himself, but he that's called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, this is the Father, you are my son, today have I begotten you. As he said in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We'll talk about Melchizedek more when we get to chapter 7, but two significant ways that makes Jesus better. Better than coming from the lineage of Aaron. Number one, Melchizedek was not just a priest, he was also a king. He was a king. He was a king and a priest. Do you know that there were kings in the Bible that wanted to be priests? And it got them in major trouble? Do you know that David said, man, better is one day in your house, your courts, than thousands elsewhere? I'd rather be a gatekeeper. I'd rather do what Mike Pass does in the back, open and close doors for people to come in to worship God than to live in this palace. The two positions were not able to be blended. You couldn't be a king and a priest. Aaron and his lineage, They were the priests, and then there were the kings that reigned on the throne. Two separate things. Jesus, he's superior, those of you who are getting ready to walk away, because he's not just your high priest, he's also a king. Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Ancient name for Jerusalem, also in it. I shouldn't do all this. But it means peace. Jesus is the king. He's the prince of peace. He's the king of peace. He's superior than Aaron and anyone else that comes from his loins. Secondly, he's greater. He's greater. He's superior. He's supreme over Aaron and those who came from him in that their throne, their reign, if you would, as priests, was temporal. Jesus, his is eternal. Melchizedek has no recorded beginning and end or end. Melchizedek doesn't have that. He's an enigma for a lot of people in Scripture. He shows up in Genesis chapter 14, centuries before he'd be written about, before Aaron comes on the scene, and then long before he'll show up again, and that's in Psalm 110. He shows up there again in Psalm 110, only three times in the Scripture, and then in the book of Hebrews during the time of Christ. He has no end to his reign, to his service. It's perpetual, it's eternal. And so is the ministry of Jesus. It's an eternal salvation that he's called us to. It's not a thing of there has to be these constant sacrifices. It's a thing of eternal salvation because he's the eternal high priest. So what he came and what he did and what he accomplished, in part, those 3 hours of darkness, those 3 hours of the Father turning his face upon him and the sins of human race being placed upon him, right? I mean, that's all part of it, him commending his spirit to the Father, right? Into your hands, I commend my spirit. I commit my spirit, him giving up the ghost, him dying our death on Calvary's Hill. That was a complete act of sacrifice. Every other animal up to Jesus Christ, even the week that Jesus was crucified, during Passover, those 200,000 plus lambs that were slaughtered right across the street from where Jesus was slaughtered, they only always spoke of him. That's why John said, when Jesus comes on the scene, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Am I preaching to anybody right now? Is this making sense? Listen, Jesus is better. He's greater than Aaron. Aaron was called by God. You got to be called by God too. But Jesus also was called by God, his Father. He was appointed to serve in this manner, to be mediator between man and God, but not just temporally, eternally, which means this, it's great news, which means this, he right now actively is on the throne as king, but also as high priest interceding for you. His ministry endures forever. You have the favor of Jesus Christ upon your life forevermore. There's no succession plan. There's nobody that's going to have to step on the scene for him from when he's done. He's never going to be done, which means you're never going to be done. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you to the day of redemption. That's just like a really kind of scratchy, surfacey, you know, covering of scriptures here this morning so that I don't lose you completely in my monologue, to be quite honest with you. He had to be called by God. Jesus was called by God. Jesus had to take on human flesh in order to serve this way. That's what the obedience is speaking about here. How do you and I learn obedience? Through disobedience. That's not how Jesus learned obedience. He never disobeyed. He didn't have to be taught. It's talking of experience. Please be good Bible students and understand what your Bible's saying. It's speaking about experience. If Jesus stayed on the throne as deity forever and never came into this world and added onto his deity incarnation, humanity, he could never have yielded or learned by experience obedience. He had to submit his will to another's will. But he didn't have to. That's poor choice of words. He chose to so he can serve you and I in this way. I hope, God, please let this sink. This has to sink. And that is how he became perfect, not in his nature, but in his ministry of this realm. Okay? Secondly, this morning, and it's the last major point before I give you the application. The high priest not only had to be appointed, ordained, or called by God, as we see in verses 1, 4, 5, and 6, but he also had to be one that was filled with sympathy for man. Notice what it says here in verse 2. This person, God says, who's going to represent me to man and man back to me, that's what a priest does. He's going to represent God to man and man to God. He's the mediator. He stands between, stands in the gap between the dead and the living. This person who stands between me and man, he must have compassion on, please, I need you to hear this, because some of you are ruthless on social media. Some of you are ruthless in your description of the world around you. Look at the Father heart of God. The person that represents me has to have compassion on the ignorant. Do you know that that's what the majority of people are that are around us? They're just ignorant. You're getting so mad, perhaps. You're getting so frustrated, so exasperated with people that are ignorant. By the truest definition of the word, like, they are truly ignoramuses of the truth. They don't understand. They don't know. Their eyes have not been opened. The scales, the blinders have not fallen off. So you've got to chill with your aggravation. You've got to kind of calm down a little bit in your frustration, your exasperation with the world around you. The world around you is doing the best they can being the world around you for the most part. You're going to represent God to man. You've got to know that you're dealing with those who are ignorant. And notice what it says here. Secondly, the Holy Spirit's been having me just stew over this. There are also those who are out of the way. I don't even know if this is fully accurate theologically, but I'm going to go there. Who is the way? Jesus. He said of himself, self-declaration, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You've got to have compassion on people who are ignorant and people who are out of the way. They're not walking with the way, the way maker. They're not walking in sync with him. They're not walking in his same direction. And God says, if I got your ear this morning at 9:58 on a Sunday morning, and this is all you're going to hear, here's what you got to hear. Because you also, as I'm going to tell you at the end here, you're called as kings and priests. So you better figure this out here if you're going to represent Jesus. You're going to talk about Jesus. You're going to put the bumper sticker on your car. You're going to put the Christian radio on your office space. If you're going to go there, then you better know what you're to act like according to Father God. He says this, it's a heart of compassion. It's a heart of sympathy. It's a tenderness. It's a brokenness. It's an achiness. It's a hurt. Listen, you're going to represent God. You're going to hurt. You're going to hurt for people. My heart hurts so much. My heart, though, has to go with my hands. If my heart hurts, my hands have to respond as such. Then my hands deal with those who are hurting the way that my heart hurts. My heart, my intellect, my mind has to affect my actions, my hands, my doings. So that when I touch and handle and minister to the world that is around me, according to God, that are ignorant and out of the way, there's a softness. There's a tenderness. There's a humbleness to me. You with me? Out of all the things that could have been said of the high priest, he's got to be called by God. Yes, of course. But he's also got to be soft like God. For this person himself is one that is compassed also with infirmity, littleness. I'm going to apply it to Jesus. I'm going to come back to us at my closing. So how does Jesus, scrutinizer? How does Jesus, interrogator? How does Jesus meet this qualification? He uses verses 7 and 8 to show you. You got to be one of sympathy. Okay, says the writer. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, verse 7, he'd offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered greatly. Even as the Son of God, Jesus suffered. There were no exceptions. If you're going to be the high priest and you're going to minister to hurting people, you yourself also have to hurt. You're never going to reach people. You'll never be real. And when no one's going to listen to you. No one's gonna mind you. No one's gonna pay attention to you. If you're sterile and distant and cold and very matter of fact and you're executing of deliberating with the truth of God, no one cares. They want somebody who's real, authentic, genuine, says the Lord. Not even what people say about people, says God of people. So Jesus humbled himself. He became obedient. Philippians chapter 2, kenosis. He emptied himself into, not of deity, never got rid of deity, but he emptied his deity into humanity. He experienced, really, like you and I experience, suffering and sorrow and not getting his way. Father, please, let this cup pass through me. Blood is all over my robe. I am your son. I beg you. Father, please. Father, please. Father says no. He goes to the cross. The sins of the world were placed upon him. He experiences separation from his dad for the first time in all of eternity so that you and I could become the sons of God. And because of that, his priestly ministry has been perfected in that he is a great sympathizer. So that when we come, going back to chapter 4, when we come boldly before his throne of grace, we are obtaining help from one who has sympathy upon us as we come to him. And he'll always only give us help in our time of need. Because he can say to us, I faced it. I was tried by it. I went through it. Isn't that exceptional? Isn't that incredible this morning? If we're going to break it down in just two ways, and maybe in second service, I'll break it in three, because you can go into the whole sacrifice aspect, but I kind of tie that together with my first point. My first point is the ordination, the call of God. Had to have it. Had to have it. Jesus had it. Not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. And his call of God was greater than the Aaronic call of God, because he was both the priest and the sacrifice, the lamb. But he also had to have sympathy. And Jesus has great sympathy for you, and it's available to have be upon you this morning as you come to him. We hit that last week. The Lord gave me fresh manna for this morning. And that is this. According to Revelation chapter 1, we are told that we are called to be kings and priests. We are a royal priesthood, Peter says, a holy chosen generation to stand in the gap to serve God. Not completely the same as Aaron and his sons, not completely the same as Jesus Christ. There's only one high priest, and he is that. But we are called to be under priests, if you would, to him. So there's this whole sermon that I can go into right now of calling of God that each of you have upon your lives. And that's a wonderful sermon, and you should explore that. What is the call of God upon my life? I don't know that specifically, but I do know it generally.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.